there, brother. This is Star-Kissed Crush Beams, and I'm here to wrestle your brain with podcasting.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Indie Film Review with me, Dan. I'm going to review another episode, another film for you this episode, of course.
What are you talking about, brother? It's me, Jared. I'm your podcasting buddy here, Star-Kissed Moonbeam.
And I've done it all by myself for years now, and I'm so glad that all of you have come in, you know, you keep
Dan,
coming back.
You keep Dan, coming I put back. A lot of time into this bit. I really practice it, like, I did, you know, in the mirror. I was really giving 110%, and you're just trampling all over it with some other bit, and I don't really appreciate
that. I don't know where to go from here.
I don't know where to go from here either. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. This is the Indie Film Review.
Put so much That's time Dan, into I'm Jared. A voice.
I absolutely did not put any time or thought into that at all.
Welcome to the Halloween show.
Yeah, this is a Spoopaween episode.
We watched an independent
so
horror film from Hulu.
That's right, the scariest
they have the
Halloween service around.
No, I just Googled indie horror movies and then just saw multiple ones that came out recently. I'm like, we should probably do a recent one. Anyway, we did a film called The Wretched.
Yeah, that's right. The Wretched. It came out last year, I believe. And, it says 2019, but I believe it was in theaters during 2020.
Yeah, like March.
Yeah, so not a good time for films to come out this year, so very interesting. Dan, why don't you tell us what The Wretched is all about?
So, The Wretched is about a being in the woods, like a type of humanoid witch monster that has plagued woods for centuries. And this plagued monster thing, he or she comes out of the woods and impersonates mothers and then eats the children.
Eat the children.
And,
sound like a
and
PSA.
Okay, so that's one part of the movie. The other part of the movie is a teenager finds out about that and tries to stop it.
That's right. And then the other part of that film, it's a beautiful coming of age story.
You know, this film is tonally all over the place.
I
liked a lot
right
of what I
film.
Saw, but there was just so much in the film to me that just, I don't know, it makes sense for the narrative, but it just didn't work for me in terms of the movie. Like, the movie felt like five different movies sandwiched together without being cohesive.
Could you tell me what the different films are without spoiling it?
Yeah, so you have the two big ones are your run-of-the-mill monster movie, Monster in the Woods movie, and then the other big one is a fucking teen movie from the 1980s.
Yeah, and then I also got like a Rear Window type of like the Frighteners type of a deal. What's that? I think it's called the Frighteners, where it's the neighbor next door is a vampire.
Fright Night.
Okay, it's like
Frighteners is the one with Michael J. Fox, and he's in a haunted house with a bunch of ghosts.
It's probably like that too. Michael J. Fox could be in this movie. I don't know. No, it's not like that at all. But yeah, it's like Fright Night. You're right. Let's do some questions, Dan. Let's try to keep it spoiler-free because there are certainly a lot of twisties and turnies in this
movie.
So
here's the big spoiler. Ready?
Uh-oh. Wow. I don't think Dan is listening to me at all. But okay,
no,
let's go.
Kidding.
Let's continue.
I mean, this kind of spoils a scene. But it's not like a big spoiler scene in the movie. It's like you've seen this in every movie ever, and I just have a question that I'm going to address.
Fine.
Really, Jared, I'm asking the world, but I'm asking you.
Okay, I am the world.
Yes, you are the world.
We are the world.
Right. Why do people throw down their glass after they shoot liquor in a crowd of people? Like, why do we celebrate, you know, drinking if everybody is doing it? Like, if everybody's in... if everybody in a group is drinking and then somebody's like, whoop, Why do we cheer for that person if everybody is, you know, never mind.
It's the peer pressure of it. I think I've been in that situation, and I'm sure you have probably been in a situation like that.
Yeah, but I'm not going to throw my glass down in triumph.
But it was just like a plastic cup. But that makes me think of, what's that one show about Catherine the Great? I think it's just called The Great. Excellent show, by the way. But in that show, every time somebody drinks a shot from an actual like glass, they smash the glass on the ground, whether they're inside or wherever they are. They're just always smashing glasses on the ground. I thought it was the funniest shit. Like, they'll throw their glasses against the wall because they're just so rich, they don't even fucking care. But it's like a dominance thing. That's the only thing I can think of, right?
Dominance.
Yeah, it's like, I've conquered this task, even though the task is
whole scene made it feel more like a fucking teen movie.
Well, that's the whole point. They're a bunch of teens doing dumb teen shit. Teen shit right there, right? So it's like, here's what I'll say. There's a lot of things in this movie that are, like, typical to the genre. Like, mm-hmm. they do a lot of tropes in this film that you would normally see in, like, a teen horror or, like, a horror film. But, they do it really well.
Yeah,
and they build on it.
It's competently done.
So, you're getting all of the things that you would normally see in a horror movie, but done extremely well, like I said, and just, like, layers and layers of goodness. Like, I wasn't... Well, how about this, Dan? Were you bored at all during this movie?
No.
Okay. Yeah. See? Did these tropes bother you, I guess, is what I would say.
No, because I just started thinking about other things in the movie, and, like, the scares were they weren't scary per se, but, like, the monster was creepy enough. The way the monster operated was creepy enough. Like, some of the situations that are presented in this movie are just impeccably done. Like, it's kind of like it has those Hereditary moments where, like, the horror is not what you're seeing, but the social awkwardness of whatever situation characters are in.
There were actually a few moments in this where I was like, oh no, like, actually pretty scared.
Yeah.
And I did not expect that. And at first, I thought the monster was kind of boring. I'm like, was it just some, like, lady who's just going to, like, bite you or whatever? I'm like, that's kind of boring. But as the movie goes on, you start to learn more about it and, like, the rules of it. And, like, Dan knows, I'm sure maybe people, longtime listeners know, I love the rules. I love establishing what the creature can do and not do, and what is its purpose, and how does it hurt people? And, like, okay, once you know those, how do you stop it? And, like, I love all
Jared
that stuff.
Jared buttons his buttons all the way up to the neck.
That's right. My bow tie is at full attention right now, and I will not explain further. but, yeah, I was, like, starting to really get into it. I'm like, this is super cool. Like, this creepy witch thing is a great take on this genre. And I haven't seen something like this before, and I feel like a lot of the things that this monster does were unique, and I don't even know if I want to spoil it right now until the spoilers.
Wait till the spoilers. Well, we're coming up on them soon. Another question in terms of cinema and how to make it.
Cinema!
Also having to do with a social situation. How many times have you seen a film scene... A scene of film in which two people kiss and one of them throws up.
Well, that's what I said. There's a lot of tropes in this movie. Or how many times have you seen it where the main character has this super hot, unattainable girl that he's trying to get from the jocks, and the jocks are bullying him. But, oh, there's that one girl who keeps smiling at me.
It's just,
but then
it's
he has the other girl who actually likes him. That he is completely ignoring, and then at the end of the film, he realizes, I probably should pay attention to the girl who's pretty and is also paying attention to me. Well, yes, but I wouldn't say shitty. It's a typical, there's the typical tropes, but everything around it is done so well that it still didn't bother me that much. Okay. So if this was like Baby's first horror movie, I think because... I'm not trying to insult the film, by the way. That's probably not the best way to say it. But If we, because we see a lot of stupid, we see a lot of fucking movies. That's what I'm saying. So, like, stuff like this, we're going to catch up on. But, like, a younger audience is not going to see all this shit that we've already seen over and over again. And they're going to enjoy it more. It's weird to say that. Would you say this movie is a young adult horror film?
I mean, that would be a good argument.
Because it's like, isn't this movie, like, rated R? I mean, it's a...
I mean, I don't think there was anything that was that bad about it.
Yeah, like, I guess
it could, it could pass as a PG-13 rating if it doesn't already have it, or maybe TV-14.
Yeah, when certain characters die, they don't really show it, or they cut away. Okay, yeah.
No nudity.
Some of the practical effects in this film are really good, Dan. Mm-hmm. Especially towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
Legit good stuff. Okay, character development. So... did you grow attached to any of the characters, and why?
No.
No, none?
Well, no, I did. I grew attached to... well, okay.
It's okay if you don't remember their names.
I didn't grow attached to a character, but I started really thinking about certain characters and their place in the narrative. So the one that I really thought about a lot was the little kid next door.
Mm-hmm.
And the relationship that he starts to develop with the protagonist, or the protagonist, Ben. How he starts to develop a relationship with that kid, because, well, I can't really go into it because it'll spoil things.
Well, let's spoil it. So we're going to spoil the movie now. The Wretched, it's on Hulu. I recommend going to see it.
Yeah, I recommend it.
I thought it was a great little Halloween, spoopoween movie, and I... highly recommend it. It was a very pleasant surprise to me. Okay, go ahead.
So in the film, the teenager, the protagonist, he's living with his dad because he really fucked up at his mom's house. It's stupid backstory. But you could tell that there's like kind of a pressure on the relationship. So my thoughts were going to the fact that this horror movie is addressing the anxiety of not having a mother figure in your life, because the witch mother, or the dark mother is what they call it in the film. She takes over the mother. She eats the kids and she moves on. But the way she moves on, or the way she eats the kids, is she convinces everybody in the life of that family that they didn't have any kids in the first place. And, like, she fucks with your head and, like, you know, gives you wrong images.
She does some ritual with photos and like, sentimental things to cloud your mind.
So I thought that the teenager himself was seeing... himself in this kid, like, with, you know, there's a mommy issue that he has to deal with, and I thought he was trying to identify with this kid, and
mommy,
it gave me a really cool you know, analysis while I was thinking about it. But then the film twists itself in the end to be the guy that we've been following this entire time. He's been
hypnotized,
and he actually has a little brother. So that twist to me didn't make much sense, and I want to know your thoughts on it.
Okay, so I liked the twist. I was like, oh damn, when it was happening. But then, yes, I think if you focus on it for a little bit longer, like after the film, if you think about it, it kind of doesn't make sense. You're right.
Well, I mean, okay, so here's my note. So he had a brother all along? That doesn't really make much sense, does it? Let's chat about this. Interesting twist, but it's way too forced into the film. Nathan should have been kidnapped. His brother, Nathan, should have been kidnapped before the love interest sister. Mm-hmm. That would have made more sense.
He was. Yep. Well, okay, I figured he was kidnapped well before... oh, you're right. That doesn't
because
make any sense.
They show him in the flashback, or like getting away from the cops whenever...
he's on the train.
Yeah. So he should have been kidnapped, but that's why it doesn't make much sense. Like,
you're right, because the witch doesn't show up till way later.
Yeah.
When the witch jumps out of the deer, which is probably one of the coolest scenes in the movie.
Yeah,
they hit
love
the
that
deer
scene so much.
And then the witch is attacking the other family, not his family. Yeah, that kind of... Because it would imply that the witch has been there the whole time and has been fucking with them, but that's not the case. The witch has been in the woods. I don't know.
Well, we just ruined the movie for you.
Damn, Dan. Well, it didn't really affect how I felt about the film. No, I still really liked it.
You watched the movie through...
What about the Uber twist at the end? The big old twisty twist. Oh, the fact that Shyamalan.
I did like the twisty twist at the
end. Tell us.
So, throughout this movie, you get the witch. She inhabits the next door neighbor first. She then inhabits the father of the protagonist, his love interest, his new girlfriend.
His new girlfriend. Mm-hmm.
And then after that, she supposedly inhabits the love interest that we've been following for the entire film.
Mallory.
And what the love interest is doing at the end of the film is giving a boat lesson to a bunch of underage, or like under 10 kids, you know, mm-hmm. underage of 10 kids. And she just is on a boat with them by herself, and then the camera zooms into her face, and then she just kind of smiles, and it ends. And it's like, oh, that's good. I liked it.
So you kind of don't really know if she's a spoopy monster or not. And the big clue is, like, when the witch is around flowers, all the flowers die.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody, I guess the main character or someone, gives her a bunch of flowers, and she takes one of the flowers and puts it in her hair. So you're kind of thinking, like, why are they focusing on this flower? Because we already know what the flower means. And then it turns out that when Mallory gives the flower to Ben, the flower's fake. And then he starts to think, like, wait a minute. Oh, no. But it's, you know what? It's kind of funny because, so there's a scene where Ben is figuring out, okay, this is a real witch. I have to stop her. No one's believing him. He's going crazy. I love when films do that kind of a thing where, like, no... it gets kind of annoying because every time Ben could have evidence about this witch, he never keeps the evidence. He always, like, drops it on the floor, just runs away from the evidence. Like, just gather intel and share it with people, you dummy. Instead of, like, I don't know. But I liked it. Anyways, I'm getting too far ahead of myself. So I was about to jump into another scene. So he wants to go save Mallory's little sister at the park. And he runs into the woods and chases after the witch, because the witch has the little sister and she's going to the woods. And when he gets into the woods, he tries to, like, pull her out of this, like, weird hole or whatever that she's in. It's, like, inside this magic tree. And then he fails. He, like, slips and hits his head. And he's knocked out for a long time. So then during this part, a bunch of shit happens. Like, the witch invades... a cop, she invades his father's girlfriend. Like, she's putting in the work to really screw mm-hmm. over this kid, when all this witch had to do was just kill the kid. Like, I was so confused. Like, she's really going out of her way to set him up and, like, do all this stuff when she could just, like, he's already in the woods by himself for hours.
Here's the deal.
I know he's the main character, but I was what are we doing?
He's the main character, but what's scarier? Outright being killed or, like, having to navigate this really fucked up trajectory of life that's been thrown at you?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the more interesting narrative is what they did. I'm just saying they kind of wrote themselves into a corner.
What do we call this woman, this witch? She's the Dark Mother, and she embodies mothers. So there's, like, a lot of anxiety around the idea of motherhood in this in this movie. Kind of like the Babadook, but it takes it in a different direction. Like, Babadook is, like, super postpartum depression, and Hereditary was kind of like this too, like the anxiety of family. This is, like, anxiety of just the relationship between the teen and his mom, I think, is where a lot of the anxiety comes from. And, like, the relationship of a son coming of age and understanding his mother. Because there's this amazing scene, it's my favorite scene in the movie, where the little kid next door, he's starting to get suspicious of his mom, like, his mom's starting to freak him out. And there's a scene where he, like, goes upstairs and he's like, Mom, and Mom is like looking out the window completely butt ass naked. And mm-hmm. he just terror washes over his
yeah.
face.
So good. Oh my it's God. So good. And there's nothing freakier to me than taking something that's familiar and safe and making it not safe anymore.
Exactly.
Like with the little kid and their mother. The one thing that was kind of weird too is how the witch sometimes was like a little like wiggly monster all the time, even when she was trying to pretend to be a normal lady. And then other times she was just totally fine. Like she could 100% be that person that she was trying to be. And that, I don't know. That kind of got a little, like whenever the plot said we need to fool the audience is when she was acting normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it would have been better if she was just acting normal all the time.
Yeah.
like 100% embodying the character that she has enveloped or whatever.
Yeah, but I feel like that's been done a lot, and they're already doing a lot anyway.
Well, a lot of this has been done a lot,
and
it's just a new coat of paint.
I like the, I don't know, I like the decaying witch. I like the fact that she's super, what's that word, temporary. Like, she yeah. can't reside in one person for long, otherwise mm-hmm. it starts to show.
I like the implication that she can jump into animals, too.
Yeah.
I think that would have been cool if she would have jumped into more animals. Dan, this is the big question that a lot of our viewers want to know about. It's been weighing heavy on my mind.
Mm.
Does the dog die?
Dog.
Dan doesn't even remember the dog. Wow. Dan, you're fired from the podcast. So, do you remember the convenience store dog?
Oh, he's supposed to be dead. Like yeah. they legit killed him, and then all of a sudden,
a cop
at the
shoots
end of
the
movie,
dog. Yeah, which sounds weird out of context. Yeah, and then he's like randomly at the very end of the film, they just show a shot of the dog with like a little patch on him. He's like, no, he's fine. And I'm like, was like the director like, no, we cannot have the dog die. That was way too dark, because it was a very dark scene, and I did not want the dog to die.
Yeah. Oh, man, I forgot all about that scene.
Yeah, it's so funny. I mean, there's so many little charming things in this movie, like when the kid goes to the convenience store and there's no one there but the dog, and he tries to steal candy or something.
And the dog is like, fuck no.
Yeah, the dog barks at him. He's like, okay, and then he pays. There was just, like, a lot of really charming things like that that elevated this movie from, yeah, I've seen this before, to, this movie is just so well done and well acted and everything that I can look past all of these like standard tropes that aren't really hurting the film necessarily. There were a few times where I actually thought they were going to kill the main character, and I think that would have been amazing. And then if they would have just killed the main character and focused on the dad, that would have blew my fucking mind. Like, this would have taken this movie to like the next level. I will say
and
I did
like,
grow
really,
very attached.
Really, because at one point, like, the dad thinks that the kid's going crazy. Like, play that up even more and then have the kid die.
Yeah, like the scene in the kitchen where he throws the salt at his new girlfriend, who is actually the witch. Yeah. That was done so well. I loved the lighting and the weird effects that they did there. It was just super good. But yeah, what I was going to say is I grew very attached to a lot of these characters. Even, like, the next-door neighbor and the kid and, like, the dad who plays the next door neighbor, like, I was like, no, don't kill any of them. And for a long time, none of these characters are dying. So I'm thinking, like, maybe they'll all be okay. So in that respect, I think the movie did such a good job of, like, keeping a vested interest, at least in my mind, of, like, I want everyone to make it through, but not everyone's going to make it through. Also, fuck this movie because they killed rabbits, and that's not cool. Because it's like, oh, here we go. Here's something original. It's the first time I've seen, like, characters with pet rabbits in a movie. Like, you rarely ever see that. But, I mean, I guess, thankfully, they don't show the rabbits dying, because that's something I don't want to see. It's messed up. Because rabbits dying is, like, an easy allegory or whatever to show, like, oh, rabbits are prey, and then, oh, this person's killing the rabbit. They're the hunter. They're the predator. It's, like, such a thing that Water movies do all down. The time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and right. But thankfully they didn't go down that road, which was like, thank you, movie.
Loss of innocence. I get it.
Yeah, there's always so many, like the White Rabbit and the blood. It's just like, all right, we've seen it all before. Relax. But they didn't do it, so that's awesome. Dan, was there any other scene you wanted to talk about? Any scene that really jumped at you? Literally or figuratively? If you can't think of one, how did you feel about... Oh, go ahead.
Like, the introduction to this thing. I like the magical tree that it resides in.
Yeah.
And I really like... We've already said it, but I want to reiterate. Like, the scene of this beast thing... Because it doesn't show that much, but it's coming out of a deer that the mom had intended to clean. So yeah. There's just a dead deer in the backyard, and it just like crawls and sidles out of it. It's so gross.
Yeah, and that explains why the deer's insides were so rotten and nasty. Yeah. Because the fucking witch was hiding in there, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
So if she would have kept cleaning the deer, she would have, I guess, found the witch. I don't know. Pretty interesting stuff. All right, Dan, final thoughts on the film. What do you think?
It was a good scare. I enjoyed it. I wish it was a little bit less tongue-in-cheek whenever it came to the team movie, because that was where I was taken out of the movie. Like, the fucking douchebag jock guy who, like, was playing it up and hamming it through.
Yeah.
It was just too over the top, and it made you feel like you were an 80s teen movie. I'm like, oh, God.
Well, the film literally opens up with like an 80s type of vibe, so I feel like they're trying to give homage to like older horror films. And I see you, movie, I understand, but we gotta move. Like, the next film these guys make, I'm very excited about, but you gotta move away from this stuff.
Yeah,
they gotta keep growing, they gotta keep showing, and I'm very excited for these dudes. This is something I say all the time. I'm really excited for dudes, especially these ones.
Oh yeah. Dude excitement.
But yeah, because this movie is just so well made. And every aspect, like the acting, the camera work, the editing, the special effects, the practical effects, everything is just so on point. And for normal human beings who don't like, who aren't like looking at the camera angles of the film, you know, like I feel like those people will really enjoy this movie.
No, exactly. Like, I enjoyed myself. It's just the minute it turned into a teen movie, and let's say, you know, if the teen movie occupies a whole 10 minutes of the screen time. Like, it's not that much of the movie, but as soon as it hits, I'm like, fuck. Like, it's...
Right, like when the kid goes skinny dipping with the super hot girl, I knew exactly what was happening. I'm like, oh, she's gonna make him take his pants off and then leave him in the pool. Like... Why are we doing this? Or when the bully comes to beat him up, but he wants to just go save Mallory's sister. Mm-hmm. I actually kind of like that, because it's almost like he's actively running away from the young adult plot. He's like, I don't have time for this stupid shit. Because, like, the bullies don't even really have a character. They don't have names. Exactly. They don't have personalities. They never die or get comeuppance.
That's a good point.
They're just, like, a thing in his way. He's like, I'm trying to get to... what the movie is actually about. So that was actually interesting to me. Thank you for watching, everyone. Dan, please give us some plugs. I appreciate it.
You can find us on Twitter at IndieFilmPod. You can find us on Instagram at IndieFilmReviewPod. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com.
Hell yeah, baby girl. TheNecropodicon.com is the place you can go to check out podcasts like us. If you go to that website, necropodicon.com, you can click on the link to the Discord and come talk to us. Yay! We're always on there talking about, like, D&D stuff or movies, video games. You can come and kind of pretty much talk about whatever. You can even, like, suggest movies to us. If you have, like, a cool independent film that you know about, let us know about it. I mean, you could also email us, too, at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com, that, like Dan said. But hey, thanks for listening, guys. Really appreciate you. Be safe out here in the spoopoweens. You know, don't get spooked too much.
Don't get spooked too much.
Keep a safe distance from the spoops. Let the spoops.
Should you even go out?
You know what you do? Here, go in your bathroom, turn the lights off, and just sit in the dark for like 10 minutes, and you're gonna get really spooked. Start flushing the toilet or something. I don't know. It'll be great. Dan, you're the final word.
I don't know if I can follow that.
That's one of the dumbest things I've said in a
while. No, exactly. I'm baffled by... I love jokes like that. Okay, my final word is there's a really weird scene in this movie in which the mom is naked. Again, I need to say that out loud. There's a weird naked mom scene in this movie, and it made me feel uncomfortable.
That's pretty good. All right.
Hey, I'm Brad, and if you like D&D, and fantasy stories with lots of magic, adventure, strange beasts, and oddball characters, and comedians with New Zealand accents, then oh boy, have I got just the show for you. The Fate of Isin is a podcast that has, wait for it, all of those things. Remember those things I mentioned? It's got all of them! Now go listen to The Fate of Isin because it's good, and you deserve good things. Fate of Isin. A proud member of the Necropodicon Network.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce, easy to listen.